Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and I want to wish you a very happy new year. This is the first podcast of 2016. It's a little hard to say. 2016. I got to keep saying it. 2016, 2016, 2016. Get used to it. Today, we're going to start your new year and help you towards heart health with an outstanding guest. Jane Jansen is a naturopathic practitioner who started out doing sort of conventional cardiology. She specialized in non-invasive testing for heart health. I guess that you'll tell us a little bit about it, maybe stress testing and various types of monitoring, as chief of the non-invasive cardiology lab at the Miriam Hospital in Providence, Rhode Island. She was doing testing and research there. But she became more interested in natural medicine. And she then turned her attention towards a more natural approach to cardiovascular disease and its prevention. She is also the host of her own popular radio talk show called Holistic Healthline. We'll find out a little bit about how to get that so that you can listen to it. Jane joins us today to discuss about her experiences past and current along the lines of preventive steps for heart health and wellness. Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, Jane. It's a pleasure.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Hoffman. This is so great. And Happy New Year to you and to your audience.
Well, thank you so much. So what accounts for the turning point when you went from non-invasive testing, doing sort of conventional work, to a more natural approach?
Well, part of my change, I guess, of heart, I still have great respect for what conventional medicine can do and the opportunities that it gives to us. But after watching my patients kind of going downhill on a regular basis and seeing them come back to have testing and they weren't getting significantly better, and they were having all these different procedures and stents put in and having all these different medications that they were on, statins and blood pressure medications and all these things, they just weren't happy because the quality of their life had dramatically gone down. And I just knew that there was a better way to go in addition to what they were doing. And so I kind of made the leap and said it was time to move into being a naturopath.
Well, sometimes, you know, if you're involved in testing, you know, like administering stress tests and various, quote, non-invasive tests, you almost feel like you're starting the conveyor belt towards some kind of radical intervention, either bypass surgery or stenting. It's almost like you're auditioning patients to find out, you know, who's going to get the next procedure.
Yeah, that's so true. You know, often these tests are helpful. They do help at least figure out what's going on. But it's after that. You know, once you find out what's going on, how the doctors seem to be missing a lot of why did they get there in the first place. And most of the medications and treatments they were doing are more kind of crisis intervention. And then a lot of times the medications that they put on indefinitely go to higher and higher doses, and then those medications with their side effects often become part of the problem of why they're not feeling so well. So I wanted to look back as to, you know, where does it all start and how can we get people, one, preventatively, but also help people who are had an event like a heart attack or a stroke. How can we prevent further damage like that from happening?
Well, today it seems that the mainstay of intervention for cardiovascular disease, for preventing it, is the use of statin drugs and other even more powerful medications that are going to come down the pike that can lower cholesterol to almost negligible levels. So what are we missing in this equation? Are there other parts of you know, what leads people to cardiovascular problems?
Well, I think, unfortunately, a lot of the physicians today, the cardiologists in particular, look at cholesterol as being the only predominant reason why people have plaque buildup in the arteries and go on to have either a heart attack, a stroke, or other health issues. And they're kind of missing the fact that You know, plaque is made of calcium and cholesterol, fibrin, and cellular waste, but a lot of studies have shown that the clogging of the arterial system really begins back with inflammation of the arteries. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, our lifestyle, stress, toxins that we're exposed to, foods that we're eating, those kind of things that increase that inflammatory process, which damages or irritates the lining of the blood vessels called the endothelium, which helps to maintain our blood pressure appropriately and prevent plaque buildup in the arteries.
Oh, well, so what are some of the things inherent in the American lifestyle that promote inflammation? Let's start with, you know, kind of the reverse of what we're going to talk about in a minute, is preventing cardiovascular disease. How is it that Americans are getting in trouble with inflammation?
Well, diet is one of the biggest factors. Eating a diet that's high in refined carbohydrates, you know, pastas, breads, those kind of things, particularly white flour products. But sugars and other starches, eating a lot of crackers, cereals, and particularly the sugars, doing a lot of fruit juices, those kind of things, never mind the cookies and cakes and pies and all those things that people love, ice cream. But those things over time, on a daily basis, really increase that our inability to metabolize sugars appropriately. And that leads eventually down the road potentially to diabetes. However, in the meantime, it's causing inflammation in the arteries. And again, that irritates that lining, that endothelial lining, causes damage. And then the body responds by wanting to fix it and put sticky stuff there and then grabs onto cholesterol, calcium, any other mineral deposits, junk, and causes that plaque buildup to occur.
You know, conspicuously absent from your account of what causes cardiovascular disease are the traditional risk factors. I mean, look at the American Heart Association website. They still tell you to avoid cholesterol and avoid saturated fats. Are you someone who emphasizes carbohydrates more as the culprit and refined sugars?
I think those are the bigger culprits. I think a lot of people today have already eliminated a lot of the bad fats out of their diet. They're eating less of the fried foods and margarine and things like that. I think you see more people going towards the healthier fats like olive oil, fish oils, flax oil, the beneficial oils that are actually beneficial for lowering cholesterol as well as inflammation.
I recently embarked, you know, for the new year on an even cleaner diet. I think my diet's pretty good, but I decided to eliminate all cereal products, breads, all grains, in fact. And also, I took a very careful look at some of the products that I use, like certain salad dressings, kind of, you know, easy peasy salad dressings, mayonnaise, for ingredients like refined canola oil. Which is, it's got some monounsaturated fats, but a lot of these things are sources of the bad omega-6 fatty acids. Can you comment on that as a possible causation?
Yeah, they certainly don't help. And the problem is all this stuff sneaks into the food so easily. And, you know, most people aren't sitting there reading labels. And the refined products, the more processed that they are, the more chemicals that are utilized to process them, the more it changes the molecular structure of these materials, and they actually become inflammatory. And again, they aggravate this whole circulatory system. And so it's not happening just in the heart, but it's also happening in the brain. And you see with dementia, Alzheimer's occurring more and more, becoming a problem, that this is something that we have to take seriously.
And you mentioned earlier the effects of stress. How is stress pro-inflammatory?
Well, you know, stress once in a while is not a big deal, but stress on a regular basis, or how we react to stress on a daily basis, you know, you turn on the television and everything's all exciting, and you know, this is the latest drama that's going on.
I noticed when I watch the cable news, there's no such thing as a time when something isn't breaking. It's breaking news.
Breaking news. And every time that happens, or, you know, little things that happen at work that somebody aggravates you, or even sometimes, you know, you can be standing in a line at the grocery store and somebody's got a zillion coupons in front of you and you're in a hurry. Your adrenal glands, which are your stress glands, and they sit on top of your kidneys, they help regulate your energy levels, but they also regulate your inflammatory response. And today, because there's so much of this constant, you know, ringing of the bell, so to speak, the adrenals are kicking into action on a regular basis, and it increases the inflammatory hormones that just don't help the situation.
And, of course, what's the role of exercise in cardiovascular prevention?
Oh, exercise is probably one of the best things people can do. It keeps everything moving. It takes nutrients to all the cells, and it gets rid of the toxins, and gets rid of them out through the liver and the kidneys. It's in and out, and you want this constant flow. But when we become sedentary, then all the toxins become sedentary as well, and they can be part of the inflammatory process. But it also has this effect of having a feel-good effect of the brain chemicals, which reduces our stress. And it also reduces our blood pressure. It helps digestion. It's probably one of the best things that people could do on a daily basis. And unfortunately, I think a lot of people think, if I can't do an hour, then forget it. Even 15 minutes a day is better than not at all. And it doesn't have to be aggressive and stressful. It can be just taking a, you know, a nice walk. And then gradually over time, you know, increase what you can do. And find ways, if you have issues like knee problems, or there's lots of different types of exercises you can do that is not going to stress those areas. But sometimes you need professional people to help you, a trainer or somebody to guide you so that you don't hurt yourself.
I was listening to a radio show over the holidays. I get a little more time to downtime, and I put on NPR. I was listening to something called Freakonomics, which I guess is sort of a kind of a innovative way of looking at economic and demographic factors. And that sounds kind of dry, but they made an interesting story. They were talking about sleep patterns, and they looked at statistics on sleep. And we know that among minorities and among the impoverished, there's a higher rate of cardiovascular disease. Now, you could blame racism, you could blame lack of appropriate medical care, you could blame poor diets, any number of obesity, whatever. But they found a perfect correlation between the amount of sleep that people got and their cardiovascular risk. And it turns out that, of course, poor people or economically insecure people may sleep less. They have to work harder. Maybe there's more noise in their neighborhood, maybe more distractions. Affluent people get to chill and relax and sleep more. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Do you have a take on that?
Yeah, I think sleep is when your body does a lot of its repair work. And if it never gets that opportunity to repair, it's always in a state of, destruction going on. It's kind of like if you don't get the people out there repairing the roads on a regular basis, eventually those potholes just keep getting bigger and bigger. But yeah, definitely sleep is something. I think also a lot of people have a lot of things to worry about these days. They're, again, stressed out, can't calm their mind, and so they either can get to sleep and maybe sleep for a little bit, or they can't get to sleep at all and are only sleeping a couple hours. But having regular sleep is definitely important.
Right, you know, and then we can go into all the rules of sleep hygiene, you know, keep the devices out, keep the TV out, have regular sleep hours, avoid caffeine, avoid alcohol towards bedtime, and so on and so on. There's a lot of things around that. So let's focus on, I think many of our listeners are very interested in the supplements that you recommend that you've used with your patients where you've seen improvements with cardiovascular conditions. So what are some of them?
Oh, there's so many different types that people can utilize. There's hawthorn, and there's, again, we talked about the fish oils. There's arginine. There's just so many different things we could mention. But I like supplements where people get multiple benefits. That just because there's so there are specific things for specific heart health issues that are more beneficial than others and in different dosages. But as far as kind of across the board, I like supplements that kind of go across the board for a lot of different people to be beneficial. And in particular, the aged garlic extract is probably one of the most all-inclusive foundational supplements I've seen in 35 years of practice. In fact, it is the Kyolic aged garlic extract is the only garlic formula that we have carried at our office at our wellness center in 35 years.
We do as well, and you know that's the main one we recommend. And of course, for people with cardiovascular problems, it's a must. But also, there are many other applications. But let's focus on what it does from a standpoint of cardiovascular disease.
In particular, it helps the again the endothelial lining to repair better, to keep it healthy. And this is the area that tends to be neglected, I think, in cardiac health today. It also can help lower cholesterol. It's been helpful in preventing plaque buildups in the arteries. It can do some. It's overall, it's great just for the immune system to keep down those inflammatory hormones, prostaglandins. So it has just so many benefits to it. But it's different than just swallowing a clove of garlic, which is okay. That helps. It kind of makes you a little odoriferous. But that's the nice thing about the aged garlic extract and the way that they process it over an extended period of time. They utilize organic garlic, and they take the unstable components such as allicin, which can actually not be healthy for you, and they transfer it into a beneficial S-allicysteine, which is unique only to aged garlic extract, and there's so many different studies showing the benefits of aged garlic extract for cardiovascular health.
Well, this is a good point at which to pause because, as our listeners know, we divide these podcasts into two parts. So you've introduced the subject of aged garlic extract. Kyolic is the only aged garlic extract available. And in part two, I want to focus a little bit more on the research that supports that with specific reference to cardiovascular disease. And our guest today is Jane Janssen. She's a naturopathic practitioner and an expert in cardiovascular prevention. And she has her own popular radio talk show, Holistic Healthline. Why don't you give the information about Holistic Healthline?
If people want to connect to this, they can actually go to our website, holistichealthline.com, or our Facebook page, Holistic Healthline Radio. It's a two-hour program where people call in and ask questions about their health, or we have special guests like Dr. Hoffman on our radio program. to keep people aware of what's going on in the world.
Excellent. All right. We're partners in that enterprise for sure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back with more on the subject of cardiovascular prevention with Jane Janssen. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.